29th through December 22nd. More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO is proud to present one of the greatest jazz films ever made, Round Midnight. Join us Thursday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater for this 1986 American-French film that captured the Paris jazz scene of the 1950s. Watch jazz legend Dexter Gordon deliver an Oscar-nominated performance. Round Midnight, the Clinton Street Theater, Thursday, December 12th at 7 p.m., 2522 Southeast Clinton.
In conjunction with KBOO's presentation of Round Midnight at the Clinton Street Theater, tune in Wednesday afternoon, December 11th, when KBOO Jazz host Rita Rega talks with bassist Chuck Israels about his experiences in the Paris jazz scene in the 1950s, playing with pianist Bud Powell, the real-life inspiration for the film. That's Wednesday afternoon, December 11th, between noon and 2 p.m. on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM.
Good morning, Cascadia. You're listening to KBOO, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today, we'll be speaking with Frances Hetherington and others at a rally in Salem, live on the spot. There is a rally there at the State Lands Building. If anybody is down in that area, it's time is right to get out, hit the streets, hit the Capitol. Citizens from across Western Oregon will be there at the land board meeting today to encourage Governor John Kitzhaber, Secretary of State Kate Brown, and Treasurer Ted Wheeler to protect critical forest lands on the Elliott State Forest. And later in the show, we'll be talking about A Lie is a Lie. Sensenbrenner, of all people, one of the primary authors of the Patriot Act, what's the National Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, prosecuted for lying to Congress about the NSA's data collection activities on Americans. All that and much, much more. In Arizona, the National Security Surveillance Agency programs have been stymied there. Arizona State Senator Kelly Ward announced legislation yesterday that would ban the NSA from operating in the state of Arizona. What a strange state that is. First up, the weather from around Cascadia. Well, as everyone knows, snow showers lightly, possibly mixed with freezing drizzle as scattered snow showers later in the afternoon. Highs reaching 32. Light variable wind tonight. A slight chance of snow again and areas of freezing fog. Lows around 28, which isn't bad considering what we're used to. For tomorrow, freezing fog, partly sunny, highs near 36, and a light east-northeast wind. Tomorrow night, rain, freezing fog, areas of fog building up late in the evening, and otherwise overcast with a low around 27. And that's about it. I don't have an alternative forecast for you today. Suffice it to say that it's the first quarter flower moon in Aquarius. The moon is 7 days old. That's about it. And we want to speak now immediately with Frances Hetherington, longtime activist and one of the people perhaps most knowledgeable. Frances has the facts at her fingertips and has been a major threat to the powers that be. Kitzhaber, Brown, and Wheeler tremble when Frances walks into the room. Good morning, Frances. And we'll have her or Josh McLaughlin in just a moment because the rally is, in fact, in progress, even as we speak. It's being organized in response to the state exploring disposal of nearly 3,000 acres of the Elliott State Forest. And I do mean disposal. This has been fought and refought in courts and on the streets and in the forests of Cascadia for years now. This is after successful legal challenges by conservation organizations which thwarted clear-cutting in the imperiled marbled murrelet habitat. This is a 93,000-acre forest. They want to basically sell it off. Good morning, Frances. Thanks for being with us today.
Another thing is, if they're going to make a reduction for illegal traffic to pass, blah, blah, blah.
Hey, good morning, Frances. Are you with us this morning?
Hi.
Hi, good morning. Thanks Hello. For being with us. Yes. We're glad to have you on the show today. Talking about the Elliott State Forest, why this is critical habitat, why this this has been a battle that's been fought and refought. What's going on today?
Today, the State Land Board is considering selling parts of the Elliott because a lawsuit forced them to drop many of their timber sales in 2012 and 2013. They got caught after they tried to double their harvest 2 years ago. They really got caught stretching it and harming an endangered seabird, this bird that flies in from the ocean every day to make a nest in on the limbs of big trees, a marbled murrelet, a very unique and rare seabird. The Elliott is some of the very first big trees this bird finds as it flies in from Reedsport and Coos Bay inland. And so it's just home to this really remarkable creature. The State Land Board wants to clear cut these lands, and if they can't do it, they've decided to sell the land to someone who can. And private industry, if they bought these lands, could clear cut them, because we can't monitor their actions like we can public land. So we're very concerned that the State Land Board is going to decide to sell these lands to private industries in hopes that somebody can clear cut them. We think that's objectionable. These lands, if they can't log them how they want to, they should be transferred to the state park system or to a conservation organization who can protect the incredible resources that are found there. This is some of the last unlogged temperate rainforest ever in the Coast Range. Scientists have determined that these particular parcels that they want to sell have the highest coho salmon production stream in the entire Coast Range. Not to mention all the other endangered species that depend on these big old forests and these rare old forests that's in the cut-over Coast Range. So we're here in Salem today to ask the State Land Board if they must dispose of these lands to make sure they only go to conservation interests or transfer to state park system and not sold to the timber industry. After all, the state determined that the worth of the timber would have been $22 million if they could just go in and clear cut. But because there's endangered bird habitat, murrelet habitat, the price of the timber fell to $3 million. It went from $22 to $3 million. That's a loss of $19 million in timber value because of the presence of this endangered bird. Now, obviously, you can't sell it to the timber industry at a cut-rate price so they can clear-cut it at a cut-rate price.
So the plan now, what... One would have thought that there would be laws that would be effective in preventing this sort of thing. So, it's going to be Governor Kitzhaber, Ted Wheeler, Kate Brown, hearing voices of such as yours, who have these types of facts, this information readily available, and you'll be presenting this to them. It seems extraordinary that that this could go forward. Is this particular meeting, how critical is it? This is we have running out of time
this
here.
This is the meeting where they're going to be making the decision. So there's about 50 of us here, and if anyone is in can hear this in the Salem area, come on down to the State Land Board on Northeast Summer Street, and it's about a half mile away from the state capitol. Come on down and attend the meeting. This is going to be on the agenda at about 11 o'clock today. So you have time to come on down. You can sign up to speak for 2 minutes if you want to voice your opposition to selling off these public lands that are, I mean, if the Merlet can't live on public forest, where can they live? You know, this is his only home. And we need to protect these lands. And this would be an incredible recreation opportunity for Oregonians and our visitors. I mean, it's immediately adjacent to the Dean Creek Elk Viewing Area, Moon Lake, Golden and Silver Falls State Park. It's immediately adjacent to those places, and it's very close to the Oregon Dunes National Recreation Area. So this area has a high visitor. Think of what if people could also hike on it, on a hiking trail that brings them through a temperate rainforest, old-growth temperate rainforest. I mean, that would just be an incredible opportunity to add to the recreation that's already there. And this is some of the best hunting and fishing areas in the nation, you know. The state parks really should get this land. Obviously, if the state land board can't clear cut it, it really needs to be conserved.
The idea of losing, again, we don't know what we've got till it's gone. Francis, I want to thank you so much for joining us. And additionally, I want to thank you so much for your work as a longtime activist and a leading voice in the preservation of what's left of our forest lands here in Cascadia. I don't think people realize how much we've already lost and how critical it is that we preserve the very little that is left. Thanks again for that, Francis. Moving along, another on the environmental front today, the Supreme Court is considering the EPA's good neighbor laws regarding clean air. And we haven't got a decision on that yet, so we'll be waiting to see what the our hallowed and absolutely fair and certainly not an activist not John Roberts and his ilk, what they will do if they will come down on the side of preserving air quality or whether they'll once again sell out to corporate interests. And those speculating on the sidelines say the fix is already in. You're welcome to avail yourself of those sidelines online. There certainly are plenty of them. James Sensenbrenner, an author of the Patriot Act, wants James Clapper, he is, of course, our Director of National Intelligence, prosecuted. Yes, that's right, you heard it. Sensenbrenner, what a strange world we live in now. Sensenbrenner wants Clapper prosecuted for lying to Congress about the NSA's data collection activities. And, of course, the key word here is speaking to our own Senator Ron Wyden, who asked Clapper a direct question. He was asked at a June Senate hearing, does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans? And now, of course, the words that will go down in infamy, Clapper responded, did, wait for it, not wittingly. So Sensenbrenner says that Clapper's apology for misleading Congress was definitely not good enough for me. It's a crime to lie to Congress. Clapper ought to remember, being someone in the legal business himself. He admitted that he gave the least untruthful answer. What? Excuse me? If you are relatively poor person, if you are not well off and you are being prosecuted for having, I don't know, some drugs or something in your pocket, then and you say that you've told the least untruthful answer that you had in your pocket at the time, that will get you absolutely nowhere. But, of course, Clapper, there are special dispensations for the likes of Clapper. Much more going on today. Remember when the National Security Agency officials maintained that they were only collecting metadata? Well, remember when the National Security Agency officials maintained they were only collecting it from your cell phone? It turns out that the NSA is actually collecting 5 billion records a day on the location of cell phones around the world. Put that together with Portland police tracking 128,000, that's a lot, of license plates a day. And that's the celebration of the life of Nelson Mandela continues. We haven't spoken of it because I get choked up, frankly, when I speak of him. This has been Air Cascadia, Thor, Tuesday, December 10th, 2013. Janet Anderson engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
This is Law and Disorder.
Today on Law and Disorder, Detroit, the cradle of the American auto industry, has just declared bankruptcy. We'll talk with Professor Laura Bartel about what this means.
They bailed out the car companies, but what about the workers who may lose their pensions and health care?
We'll talk about the terrorist watch list and the no-fly list.
What's the no-fly list about? You get on the list because you won't be an informant for the FBI?
Stay with us.
New York City attorney and author Michael Smith.
I'm Heidi Boghossian, Executive Director of the National Lawyers Guild.
And I'm Michael Ratner, President Emeritus of the Center for Constitutional Rights. Today we're joined by Shane Catadol from the Center for Constitutional Rights. Shane represents, along with the center, a number of Guantanamo detainees. Recently, in fact, this week as we're recording this show, one of the center's clients, a man named, I never can pronounce the name, but it's last name Amezian. The first name is what, Shane?
Jamel.
Jamel Amezian was sent back to his, quote, home country of Algeria. The center has put out numerous alerts on it, saying he's in jeopardy, he's in trouble, he shouldn't have been sent back. And they've been fighting having him again, sending him back for many years now. So can you give us a sense of who he was and what we're worried about with him being sent back to Algeria?
Sure. Well, so Jamel left after graduating from college, one of two